He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, thank goodness it's Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. It's the tale of two markets today. Quite a big distinction between the Dow and the NASDAQ today. And, of course, the Dow is up on the news that one of the big components of the Dow, United Healthcare, is on the receiving end of a new investment by Berkshire Hathaway, none other than Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett. And for that reason, the Dow is up 210 points right now to 45,122. That could be a new all-time high. I got to look at my numbers, but we may be finally breaking through that resistance level on the Dow. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, I think is being impacted somewhat here by Applied Materials, which had pretty weak earnings. They're in the semiconductor equipment business, and the NASDAQ is down 35 points. The S&P 500 is dead flat at 64.69 as the big powwow in Anchorage is going to take place a little bit later here today. And over at the bond market, the 10-year is flat. Gold is up just a little bit here. Bitcoin is selling off again off of that high of 122,000 that it set here just a few days ago. Bitcoin is down today 1,800 to 119,000. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide, fee-based only, registered investment advisory firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And the big news today, even bigger than Berkshire Hathaway, even bigger than Buffett, has got to be Anchorage, Alaska. I don't know that I can remember anything like this in recent memory where you have Putin meeting with Trump. You know,
on American soil, too.
On American soil.
On a base, right?
I mean. You know, Trump, he towers over Putin. Putin is quite small. I think maybe Putin's got that Napoleonic complex a little bit, but I'm sure Putin's not going to give ground, no matter how big Trump is, how big his hands are, how warm he tries to be to Vladimir. I think Vladimir pretty much is a pretty ice running through his veins, I think would be the proper way to look at him. Whether anything comes from it or not, at least it's a try. Okay, you've got to begin somewhere. If you're not talking, you're not going to get anywhere other than just a big standoff. What do we have? What does Trump have as leverage on his side? Well, severe sanctions against Russia and their economy, which is 80% dependent upon oil and natural resources, and he'll use those sanctions as best as he can to try to break, you know, the finances of Russia. And on the other hand, you know, Putin has leverage over us to some extent, you know, with his nuclear weapons, I suppose, are his biggest, you know, the Bay of Pigs. Here we are, the Bay of Pigs. Now it's the Bay of Anchorage up there in Alaska. So anyways, I think the market's going to take kind of a day off here and watch what happens over there. And, of course, you know, look, I mean, we would, if you're a praying kind of person, you would pray for peace to be in that room and for cooler heads to prevail and stop the killing of people over land and over territory and over egos and whatever else. So anyways, that's that, and that's a big deal. The other big deal, obviously, the news after the close yesterday, it's the most beleaguered company in the Dow right now, and that's United Healthcare. Things started going south when one of their CEOs was gunned down in Manhattan. And then, of course, other things unfolded after that, investigations into UnitedHealthcare, into their practices, investigations into their reputation for denying claims by their insured.
Legislative
and it's been a
risk.
Disaster.
Right.
Right.
I mean, from the administration in terms of potential reduced reimbursements and other things going forward.
Yeah, and you know what else I was, you know, and that obviously, and the stock missing their earnings estimates right. quite badly, which is not anybody else's fault but their own. And I mean, that, so this is Buffett's cup of tea. Everybody has a different cup of tea in this industry, and his cup of tea is, for the most part, troubled companies. But strong franchises that he feels are selling at bargain basement prices. And you got Buffett stepping into UNH, announcing that yesterday. You also have Michael Burry, who is famous for The Big Short, announced that he's stepping in. So you've got an 11.6% gain today in UnitedHealthcare. Which was it? This stock has been cut in half, okay, since April of this year. April of this year, it was $606, and it's been trading under $300 here recently. So, you know, look, Buffett steps in. He looks at a P.E. ratio of 11. He looks at a forward P.E. ratio right now of 18, actually. That means their earnings are going down. If you have a higher forward P.E. than P.E., that means you're going to have less earnings next year than you are currently, than you've had over the last 12 months. That's what that indicates. And, of course, UNH is a big component of the Dow, and that is driving the Dow higher. On the other hand, the NASDAQ, which has kind of weakened a little bit here the last few days, I don't think Applied Materials is helping today. They are a big player in the semiconductor equipment space. They're down 11.2% right now, so that's not helping the NASDAQ. But Applied Materials is a soggy stock. I mean, it's a single-digit grower these days. It's much like Cisco. It ain't what it used to be, and Applied Materials down 11.4%. So that's impacting tech. That's impacting the semiconductors. And in the meantime, all eyes on Anchorage, Alaska today.
What time is that meeting? Do we have a time?
Well, Alaska's way over there. Quite a time difference
between
us. I want to say the time difference is about 5 hours, something like that. So, like, it's still 5 a.m. Out there in Anchorage. Maybe it's a four-hour difference. I'm not quite sure. I think the meeting's at 11 or something like that, Alaska time, which would be later in the afternoon.
Yeah, but I will 3 p.m., have my TV 3 p.m. on. Eastern, it says. Yeah, 3 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Eastern. So
I'll have my TV on watching this historic powwow on what used to be Alaska's territory. It was called Sewell's Folly when the Interior Secretary Sewell bought Alaska from Russia. That was one of the worst deals ever for Russia. You know, with all of what Alaska has to offer, and one of the best deals that we've ever made. And I think a little bit of that runs through Trump's veins, obviously. He did kind of make a little bit of a play at Greenland, but Greenland wasn't willing to sell to the U.S. So anyways, that's what's taking place. We saw new highs yesterday in the S&P 500, new all-time highs. New time high in the NASDAQ yesterday, but really the market was basically flat because we had a little bit hotter than expected PPI report. And then today we get weak earnings from Applied Materials, which is, you know, a bit of a bellwether in the chip space. Okay.
I can tell you the one interesting thing about Alaska, by the way, one of the reasons they sold it is, you know, is because they were in the Crimean War. So they had a war in Crimea.
And that war
still now we still got one
today.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been so Crimea has cost them a lot over the years. I hope it's worth it. So anyways, a couple new buyers in UNH. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not a deep value, out of the money investor, you know. And Buffett, look, he's going to have some say in the running of that company with an investment like he makes. And so that does give him a bit of an advantage of being an investor like that. But he also believes in buying things that are cheap and pretty much out of favor. And, you know, on the other hand, I like buying into companies that are really on their runway right now and taking off and are flourishing. So to everybody, to each his own, everybody has a different cup of tea in the market. And he obviously is very good at what he does. We'll be right back. The other news after this close yesterday was on Intel. What's that all about? This is the Best Stocks Now Show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now Show. The other big story today in a beleaguered, out-of-favor stock is in Intel, which was a member of the Dow until it got kicked out and replaced by NVIDIA. Okay, NVIDIA is now a $4 trillion company, $4.4 trillion. Intel is $109 billion. I remember when a $100 billion company was a big deal. That's a mega cap stock, right? But compared to NVIDIA at $4.4 trillion, Intel's like a little micro cap.
The numbers are crazy, aren't they? I mean, it's just wild how market caps have risen. You know, some have risen and some have, you know, have basically stayed the same.
Yeah, or gone down considerably. Right. I mean, Intel was at one time, not too long ago, a $70 stock. Now it's a $24 stock, so it's lost about 65% of its value. And what's the news? Well, there's rumors. I don't know if there's any substantiation to this, but Intel spikes on speculation that the U.S. is considering taking a stake in the chip company. I would say this is something else that Trump has been doing that we haven't seen before. The U.S. government took a stake in MP Materials. Because MP Materials is a rare earth there in Mountain Pass, California, on the California-Nevada border along the I-15 there, and taking a stake, he figured it was in our best national interest to, you know, look at that. And not only did the U.S. government take a stake in MP, but so did Apple. Apple Computer took a stake, which is very unusual for Apple to diversify into a rare earth mine, but I think it points out the importance and how critical these rare earth minerals are. And I think Trump looks at Intel as kind of a national, it's in our national interest to keep Intel alive. I mean, after all, Intel was the pioneer of Silicon Valley, you know, and they were way ahead in the chip game and everything like that. And then along came others like NVIDIA and AMD, and just really it took a lot of share away from them, and they weren't able to keep up with their technology, I would say, is the biggest problem.
Well, and they're still a fab company. I mean, the thing is, you know, they actually, you know, not just design chips like NVIDIA, but they, you know, they do actually make them. And so if we want chips made in the U.S., they're a key player.
Well, yeah, you know,
they haven't been great at it, but they are a key player.
So. Otherwise, we're dependent on Taiwan and Taiwan Semiconductor. You know, the plan would help Intel develop a factory hub in Ohio. A state we're fond of. We spent some time there this year in the Cleveland area and met with a lot of great folks from that Great Lakes region of the United States. And, of course, bringing industry back to Ohio, you know, maybe not the old steel and coke plants or things that were there before, But how about manufacturing Intel or other semiconductors there in Ohio? So it, from what I understand, the situation is fluid. But it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, the U.S. government take a stake, and they'd probably make money on the deal at the end of the day. So we'll see. July retail sales rise slightly less than expected. Well, you know, you got people on vacations and things like that. I wouldn't get too worried about that. China's the economy that's having issues right now. You hear that sputtering sound that's rippling across the Pacific Ocean from Beijing to L.A. and Seattle? That's the Chinese economy. They're feeling, I think they're definitely feeling the brunt of the tariffs that have been placed upon them. Their industrial production has slowed. Their retail sales miss targets. Their jobless rate climbs to 5.2%. And, Barry, I would just say if they're reporting 5.2%, it's probably about 9.2%, something like that. Yeah. I think they're
get a little creative sometimes.
We're not very good at counting here in the U.S. We can't quite get those jobs numbers right. We're way under. And they're usually a little over. I think they might pad the numbers a little bit, but China definitely feeling the hit of the tariffs. And you know, look at all the stuff that's produced there, and a lot of people just aren't going to pay the extra 15% for things made in China, and that's starting to show up in their economy. Saudi wealth fund slashes U.S. tech holdings in Q2. Well, they must have someone there at the Saudi Wealth Fund that looks at valuations of companies and says, you know, things are getting a little rich over there in the U.S. with the NASDAQ trading at 38 times earnings, the S&P 500 trading at almost 27 times earnings. They exited Meta, PayPal, which has not been a very good stock. They also exited Alibaba, okay, which that has been a very poor performing stock. Saudi Arabia has a $1 trillion sovereign wealth fund. They also exited positions in Shopify, New Holdings, and FedEx. I wouldn't say they're very good stock pickers over there in Saudi Arabia. It doesn't say here what they are buying, however. I'd like to see what they're moving their money into. Is it Palantir? Is it NVIDIA? Is it Booking.com? Who knows what they're buying? SoftBank adds a new eToro stake. Now, eToro is a stock that I've been watching. You know, we've had very good success with Robinhood, which is in our Ultra Growth portfolio. And the eToro is a competitor, a very recent, fairly new IPO. And I like their characteristics. They're getting into crypto, too. That seems to be the craze these days. Barry, in the year 2000, if you announced that you were getting into e-commerce, that your stock would jettison, you know, and now it's crypto. We had this big IPO yesterday, Bullish. That's a good name, by the way. You wouldn't want to name a stock bearish, but Bullish came public. That's Peter Thiel. They are a Cayman Isles-based global digital asset platform that provides market infrastructure and information services. It's a crypto play. I don't know what the market cap is right now that's not being listed. I don't know what the earnings are or lack thereof. I don't know what their sales are yet. But in a few days, we should have some kind of handle on that, as now they have to make public all of their numbers. Bullish came public at 37, and it's 72. It hit almost 200 yesterday, came back to earth by the end of the day, and is now settled in the 72. Guess who was a big buyer of Bullish? I don't know where she got in.
I saw
in.
This.
Yeah, Kathy Wood. Doubling down. She's a very big crypto fan and investor. I hope it works out for you, Kathy. But we weren't offered any shares of Bullish by the the team that took them public, the syndicate that took them public. But that's a new one, and I added it to the Best Stocks Now app today. BLSH. interesting symbol. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where there's a lot going on this Friday, August the 15th, the big powwow taking place. I'm going to watch that. That's got to be pretty interesting. I read that every rental car, every hotel room, every restaurant in Anchorage is booked, and quite a scene going on today with this historic summit between the leader of Russia and the leader of the U.S. on our soil. That just sends a chill down my spine just thinking about that, Barry. Okay, SoftBank adding a position. I talked about that, a couple of positions. This is a day where a lot of they're announcing positions they've added. So the David Teppers of the world, the Einhorns of the world, which, you know, frankly, I don't pay too much heed to what they're buying and selling. I mean, I see them buying a lot of bad stocks, and I see them selling a lot of good stocks, and, you know, everybody got their own opinion on stocks, and it's interesting to see what these guys, these big hedge fund managers, are buying. They get a lot of press. They're well-known names in the industry. There are some websites out there. There used to be one. I'm sure it's still around. GuruFocus.com, where they basically are just reading through these. What's the filing? Is it 13F? We file one every quarter of our big holdings and our big sells. And
I think it's a 13. I think it is 13F. All those numbers kind of run together in my head.
And you could have bought it 2 months ago, right? I mean, you do it, I think, every quarter. And so it really, to me, just, you know, Buffett, obviously, okay, that's a big headline, and him getting into United Healthcare is a big, big deal. Okay, how about...
Sold some Apple. I think he exited some Apple to get to United Healthcare. Of course, Apple's been up, I think, 15% in the month of August, so I'm not sure if that was a great move or not. But
yeah. Okay, now, boy, we heard a harrowing story. Our VP, Jeff Webster, headed back to a wedding. They tried to land in Denver last night. The wind shear was so bad, the pilot made 2 attempts and then aborted the attempts and had to go into what city? Colorado Springs to gas refuel.
Just to gas up. Yeah, he said it looked like a 1970s gas line between all the planes that were getting gas in Colorado. All I could think of was that was an expensive night for those airlines flying into Denver last night in terms of burning fuel.
And before long, I mean, we're going to plan a trip there. Maybe we'll go to Denver via Omaha, right, or something like Charlie Daniels did. Or we'll take the train. Maybe we'll take the train. Because that Denver airport can be pretty spooky with the wind shear coming off those Rocky Mountains. It can also drive a baseball into the upper seats, which hasn't seemed to help the Colorado Rockies here lately, but leads into my next story here of Joby Aviation. I still think it's going to be a big deal. I think the robo-taxis, a flying car, basically going around and flying right over the, you don't want to hit the wind shear though with one of those guys. But Joby Aviation completed a successful flight. I don't know if it's the magnitude of the Wright brothers there in North Carolina, but they did. Out in California, the aircraft flew between airports at Marina and Monterey, California for a total flight time of 12 minutes. Well, okay, over 10 nautical miles. That's where John Denver went down, out in that neck of the woods, I think off Monterey, in his little light plane. But anyways, there's some players in that. You've got Blade Motility, Blade Air Mobility, you've got Joby, you've got Archer Aviation. It's one step above the autonomous car efforts that are going on in several cities.
Made me think, what does wind do to these drones? We're going to have, you know, they're going to have a drone delivering an Amazon package, and it, you know, hits some wind shear and just, you know, plummets.
We get wind shear at my house.
Right, exactly.
They try to land on my porch. We've had some, we get some wild stuff here on the Wando River, the wild and woolly Wando River. Precigen is the stock of the day. It's up 65%. It's a biotech coming out of nowhere with approval for a drug for respiratory papillomatosis, a tumor condition. I was hoping for help with that disease, and it looks like we got it. The Germantown, Maryland-based Precigen. Not that brain drug, you know, that over-the-counter they advertise. This is something different. This is a pharmaceutical. Hims and Hers under investigation by FTC over business practices. Well, they have a subscription model, Barry, and, you know, they make it difficult to cancel subscriptions. People paying them Hims and Hers, and they don't know how to cancel their subscription, so they're under investigation. That's been kind of a controversial company, actually, with their selling of the knockoff weight loss drug, Wegovy, the compounded drug, and so now they've got another issue there. Okay, deer. Now, we've said that not many companies. Now, we are at the very tail end of earnings season. And I look at the headlines of every company that reports earnings during earnings season. And there's a lot. It's not just the S&P 500 companies, folks. It's not just those 500. It's all the Russell 2000. It's the NASDAQ 100. It's the Russell 3000. There's a little blurb, so-and-so reports earnings, blah, 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 and I do read every one every single day, and I look at the charts of the stocks just to see if there's anything interesting there, because I don't want to miss anything, right? If there's something out there that I need to be aware of. Very few companies warned about tariff headwinds, but Deere is one of the companies that obviously closed some American plants where they were building Deere tractors and offshored those manufacturing jobs. And now they're whining and crying about ongoing tariff headwinds. So when they
and bring soybeans. Yeah, soybeans, the other part. Of course, you know, China with the new tariffs and kind of leading up to the tariff battle, essentially quit purchasing soybeans for us. They now have some things in place where they're supposed to begin those purchases again. But, you know, they've had, in terms of demand from farmers, has actually decreased too. So it's, you know, partly directly because of the tariffs and where they build stuff, and then also indirectly from the tariffs, just in terms of how some certain crops and farmers have been affected.
Yep. Well, the Illinois company, $132 billion, the venerable green and yellow tractor. I got a few of those on my train layout, Barry, the venerable green and yellow tractors that are beautiful. And nothing speaks America like a green and yellow John Deere tractor. They've had four rough quarters in a row, earning sales down 45%, 60%, 22%, and 24%. And their earnings have been down 28%, 30%, 16%, and 9%. The stock has been a pretty good performer over the years. But it fits in that, you know, it's a cyclical. It rises up and down with the economy and the cycles of the economy. And more, even more than that, the cycles in ag. And ag, just like a farmer, any farmer will tell you, it's cyclical. There's good years for their crops. There's bad years for their crops. There's weather conditions. There's low soybean prices. There's high soybean prices. There's too much wheat, not enough wheat. That's a difficult area to invest in. We leave that to the commodity guys, Barry. They watch the weather, hurricanes off the Atlantic, rain patterns as they invest in the commodities pits in Chicago.
I always think of Trading Places. That's a movie from the
Dan
from the
Aykroyd.
80s. And, and Eddie Murphy, and I think... I think Jamie Lee Curtis is in that too,
but
yeah,
frozen business.
Frozen orange juice futures. That's what I.
Yes, and you know, and so, anyways, very difficult. And deer is you know, subject to that. It's just like the oil companies are subject to the price of oil. Deer is greatly impacted by the price of the crops. I mean, if they need more soybeans and they got to ramp up, well, then you got to buy more deer equipment to meet the demand. But obviously, demand's pretty soft. Now, the other one here that reported at the tail end of earnings season is Applied Materials. And, you know, that stock has seen better days. There's just no question about it. And they've been passed by companies like, you know, ASM Lithography and others. Now, Applied Materials is right there where we're going in mid-September. They're in Santa Clara. We'll probably be staying right by their plant, their office. I don't know where they make their equipment, but not a good report. Their stock is down 11% today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show for this week. And on Fridays, I start putting together my thoughts for the weekend newsletter. And that goes out to thousands of people every Saturday. You can get a free 4-week trial by going to GundersonCapital.com along with my updates, live updates via email during the week. Access to my powerful Best Stocks Now app. So there's a lot there. 4 weeks is a pretty generous offer, too. The cost is $89 per month. And you're getting that no cost, no obligation. Try it out and see what we're all about at Gunderson Capital Management. Other folks don't have the time. They say, man, look, I'm in brain surgery at that point in time. I'm cleaning people's teeth or whatever you do for a living, right? I can't be watching stock charts and earnings news and whatnot. So they hire us to manage their portfolios, and we charge a fee. There's no commissions here at Gunderson Capital. No big illiquid products where I get paid a big commission like a lot of others
do. No variable annuities here.
No, just, I mean, look, everybody's got their cup of tea, and that's just not my cup of tea. I like pure, clean, simple, fee-based money management. Okay, now, having said that, The one big company that has not reported earnings yet, and I would say in today's world it's the elephant in the room, NVIDIA will report on August the 27th. And I remember
still got a ways to wait, huh?
Yeah,
I mean,
12
it's like
more
waiting
days
for football season or something.
It's not next week. It's not until the last, almost in September. Everybody will be back to school by then, and, you know, I can remember maybe 2 years ago, their quarterly report was the shot heard around the world, one of the biggest quarterly reports of all time. This may be the greatest stock of all time. It's certainly one of the greatest I've seen in my lifetime. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a bigger winner in the market and a more dominant technology and a bigger move to the Dow in such a short period of time, and blowing out all the others out of the water and making the U.S. even that much more competitive in the world because China can't have access to their chips, at least not now. So NVIDIA will report on August the 27th. That will be a big one, and for whatever reason, that's when they report earnings. There's a couple others here in the news today. A quantum stock, one of the leading quantum stocks. But what you have to realize with these quantum stocks, quantum is going to be needed at some point in time. It's probably needed now, but it's not going to happen next week or next month. It's going to take, Jensen Huang said, we're years away from having quantum capabilities in semiconductors and other applications. But then he toned down the rhetoric a little bit, said, you know, well, we're starting to see quantum show up now. Well, quantum computing is one of the leaders in that. QUBT, they reported, there's nothing to report, really. I mean, there's no sales, and therefore, there's not any earnings. They were expected to lose 26 cents, instead they only lost 6 cents. So I guess that is better than expected. They beat their earnings by posting a smaller loss than expected. And the shares are down 0.75%. So, you know, this is even a step below our emerging growth portfolio. I think all the companies in our emerging growth portfolio are profitable and growing their earnings. This is pre-profit, okay? These companies are pre-sales. There's not even any sales yet, so you have to realize that it's a long runway.
And they're in the research mode. Think of them as almost like a biotech
yes.
in terms of just in a different field.
And the same can be said about Nano, which also reported no earnings, no sales. They lost 18 cents this quarter. And Nano, NNE, is working on a very interesting project, portable nuclear energy solutions using proprietary reactor designs and intellectual property. Nano, obviously, has dreams of, let's just say, a hurricane slams Florida this year. So far, knock on wood, we are in the heat of hurricane season. We haven't had any yet that have even been named, have they, Barry? I don't think
we've had a few named because one of them was Barry this year.
That's right.
It kind of fizzled
Barry.
Out, I think. It might have touched Mexico or part of a piece of Texas, mainly a rainmaker. But, I know there was one out there that it looks like we're gonna dodge that one. It's going to go between, I think, Bermuda and you know, the U.S. and kind of get sucked up. But, yeah, knock on wood, nothing too big
yet. Imagine, you know, I mean, FEMA showing up with a portable nuclear reactor able to power the whole town, the whole city until everything's back on, or whatever else. I mean, power a data center, right? Power large buildings downtown, big skyscrapers in Manhattan. That's the dream of Nano Nuclear, NNE. And a lot of it is being developed in Idaho, up there at the proving grounds in Idaho near Idaho Falls. So it's an interesting one to watch and to keep an eye on. But again, that's a runway. There's a runway out there. And I'm sure it would be interesting to listen to maybe the conference call and, you know, they are talking to people about getting clients and getting selling in advance some of these things, but it's still a long runway. Then the last one I would mention is the company that's trying to find rare earth under the sea. Maybe they need Ariel and Flounder to help out, but TMC.
You've been watching some movies,
well,
some
I got
movies
some
with the granddaughters. Yeah, you do.
Now they're in sixth grade, so they're past it. But I still have a mermaid lover over in Columbia, South Carolina, a little granddaughter there. She still wears the mermaid outfit when she comes to our house. And when she gets in the pool, puts on the mermaid fins and swims around and dreams she's a mermaid. TMC, the metals company, is Canadian-based and, you know, no earnings, no sales, a long shot, hoping to find rare earth under the sea. And I just know it's hard enough to find a school of tuna out there, let alone rare earth deposits. So I wish them the best of luck. And I think that maybe the U.S. is also looking at that one very closely. Maybe you could invest in them at some point. Who knows? Although they're Canadian-based, so I doubt that. All right. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to get 4 weeks of the trial, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.